for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, April the 8th, 1982. Spring Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the teacher of the evening.
I haven't seen some of you in quite a time. I'd like to bring you some good news from the battlefronts across the country. The fires of deliverance are spreading in spite of everything the enemy can do to stop it. I was hanging with a demon somewhere over on the west coast a while back, some months ago, and he said, we haven't had, things haven't been this bad in centuries, really. He said, I don't understand it. How it can be so bad. And the reason it's bad is because God's people are picking up the name and the authority of Jesus and learning to use it in everyday situations. And everywhere I go, I encourage people and I tell them, you don't have to sell your house. You don't have to sell your business or quit your job and go away to school somewhere and get into the battle. Because while you sweep the floors, while you wash the dishes, while you're at the factory driving the truck or whatever you're doing, you can be in active warfare with the enemy, and effective warfare. I'm running across people all across the country who've been talked into selling their homes and their businesses and going away to school because, oh, I see a glorious ministry for you and this sort of thing. And the glorious ministry fades just about the time they finish Bible school because that's when all their money runs out. And then they're disillusioned. They find out, indeed, nobody's waiting for their ministry at all. They haven't got a ministry. If they did, they left it. And they have to start all over. And this has happened so many times, it's not funny. And so I'm glad to be the bringer of good tidings. You don't have to go into gear and become super spiritual or something else in order to be used of God. You can just be what you are, where you are, and you can make a dent in the devil. Isn't that better? I was up on the East Coast a few months ago, and I ran into a man who was used to be a hitman for the Illuminati. And he told me that I was the first time he ever heard of me, first time he ever heard my name, he said, your name appeared on my hit list in 1963, the first I ever heard of Wynn Worley. And he said, you moved to the top of the list some time ago. And I said, well, I'm still walking around. He said, I know. He said, there are too many angels. They can't get to you. Now I'm not telling you that so you'll think, gee, Wynn has got angels all around him. I'm just a believer doing what God told me to do. And any believer who will do that can have the same protection. And you don't have to walk in fear because of the enemy. You can just go right on about your business and do what you're supposed to do. I'm all over this country, fly thousands and thousands of miles every year. And I'm in airports, open airports, public airports. I'm in motel rooms late at night. I'm in my church at all hours of the night and day all alone. And I'm up and down the streets and everything else, and nobody has taken a shot at me or anything else. And I'm just saying that because you don't have to be living in fear. There are things the enemy cannot do, though he would like to. I thought it was kind of interesting that in 63, I wasn't even thinking about being in deliverance. That came along in 70. But the devil already had marked it out. But that's all right. He doesn't get to do everything he wants to. That's kind of refreshing, too, isn't it? I enjoy telling the demons sometimes. They tell me, we want to do this, we want to do that. And I say, well, you don't get to do everything you want to, do you? And it's high time that we stood up to them and told them what it is on the basis of the Word of God. Now, tonight, we're going to have a mass. The only kind of mass a Baptist preacher can conduct is a mass deliverance. So that's what we're going to do. Some of you sure look startled. You look like you didn't know whether you were in the right building or not. Let me say this about deliverance, the way the Lord is showing it to us. It is an unfolding revelation. As I studied revivals as a young Southern Baptist preacher, I used to pray for revival and pray for revival, and I studied the revivals of the past, and what I discovered, there was something, a thread running through them that was similar. There came a time when the revivals would peak, and then those who were leading them, those who were caught up in the great sweep of the revival, many times would begin to think they had it all. And when they did, when they stopped learning, they stopped being open to the Lord, and the revival began to slow down. And the first thing you know, you had people strutting around saying, "We know how to do it." And they got all puffed up, and it destroyed the revival. I just passed that on for you. Don't get to the place where you don't need any more deliverance. I run across people every once in a while say, "I don't need any more deliverance. I've been delivered." Now there you see pride sticking up big as a horse. You could see that easy, you know, along with several others. But you just don't get there. We're in too big a mess to get there that quick. And most of those who are saying, "I've been delivered," hadn't been on the trail. Sure enough, they hadn't been on the trail long enough. And once the further they go in this, the more they'll understand what they need, more and more and more. But God uses us in spite of our flaws and failures and not because of them, so you don't have to despair, and you don't have to sit around and twiddle your thumbs waiting until you're perfect, because then that'll be a little late in the scheme of things. We need some help right now, and God will do this. Now, we must remember that deliverance is an unfolding revelation which is taking us into the power of God, into the very power structure of God's plan for His people. It's not the end of anything. It's the way into many other things that God wants to do. Now, the nation is hanging by a thread over absolute disaster. Well, that's nice, because then that means God's going to have to rescue it. There's nobody else can do it, right? So don't you panic about it. Just remember, when the devil does his worst, God does his best. And it's time for God to do his best. Hurry! Amen? So I'm just saying that to let you know that we're in desperate straits, and we need men and women who have been purged and repurged by the power of God. And just about the time you think you've arrived, well, then get somebody to check you out, and they'll say, "No, you haven't gotten there yet." Don't take your own evaluation, because you're likely to be fooled. Amen? If you really wonder about it, ask your wife. She'll tell you in a hurry, just like it is. Won't you, Glenn? All right. But we need to understand that what God is doing in these days, He's raising up a people, He's training them and giving them tremendous authority, perhaps more than has ever been given on a broad and on a broader scale than anything that's happened since the church first began. And we're not there yet, but that's what I see coming over the horizon. It's not here, because we still have Christians who are lethargic, who are lazy, who have no vision, and where there's no vision, the people perish. We still have people whose main world is wrapped up in their job, in their lawns, in their houses, in their cars, and the possessions, the things that they have in their hands. And those are going to turn to dust. The only things that will last are the spiritual things. Now, I'm convinced that we're going to see, this is all just introductory, has nothing to do with the mass particularly, that'll follow later. I'm persuaded that we are going to see, as Jesus tarried, we're going to see manifestations of demons walking down the road, such as has never been seen before. I believe this. I may be wrong, but this is what I believe. I think the devil's going to come out of the thicket. Look at the movies. Look at the advertising. Look at the open parading of witchcraft in many places. The devil's getting open. He doesn't care about hiding anymore. He's coming right out in the open and saying, "Look at me. I got muscles." And I believe we're going to see that. Now, what are you going to do if those days come? Supposing something 25 foot tall is walking down the street, looks like something out of a horror movie, and the worst thing you ever saw, breathing fire and brimstone, comes down and looks down at you, and what you going to do? I think about a little cartoon I saw some years ago, and it had this little lady, and she went to the door, and there was this really big, humongous monster standing up there going, "Ah," like this, you know, really big thing. And so she was just straight up and down, her hair was straight up, her eyes out on, you know, she's just like this. And her husband was around the corner, and the caption on there said, "Quick, Henry, dial a prayer." And I think some Christians are going to be about in that shape when these things start to pop. They're going to try to reach for their Sunday school quarter or something. And you're not going to be able to beat those things up with a Sunday school quarter, friend. And you're not going to get the choir to come out and sing the 7 or 9-fold amen to run it off either. But you know, if you were even just basically acquainted with deliverance, then your automatic reaction when you saw that thing, you'd say, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." Now, we need to raise up an army of people who will be marching with that confidence in the name of Jesus. So it'll be second nature for you to react. You need to be like the little girl in our congregation. Oh, it's been a couple years ago, I guess, because she was only about 2 years old at the time. And she went to see, they took her to see the grandparents, and the grandparents didn't happen to be in our church. As a matter of fact, the church they were in was quite a ways away from what we're doing. And anyway, Grandpa, you know, he was doing like grandpas do, you know, he's going boo, you know, and he's making ugly faces and saying boo at the little girl, you know. But you know, she'd been at church all her life, and she knew what it was when faces twisted up and they started acting ugly. She said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." Well, of course, Grandpa was kind of stunned because he didn't know what to think. But that child's automatic reaction reminded me of something. The believers ought to automatically react to situations with using the power of the name of Jesus. Many of you have prayed for us and for me as I've gone across the country, and you've prayed for the work at Hagwich, and we are continuing to have deliverance workshops every year, 3 of them a year now, and they are bearing fruit. And we're putting things on video. We have a tremendous video thing. I'm just going to run this by you and then won't have to say any more about it. For your prayer. You might pray about this. We have a 2-hour film clip of clips of deliverance from Hagwich. And if you've been to Hagwich, you know it gets pretty raw. And we've got the zoom lens and close-ups and living color and screaming sound and everything. And that tape was left in Los Angeles with the That's Incredible people. They were interested in it. You might pray about that. And they were going to bring the cameras to the meeting, but they didn't find out about it in time. But some people who worked on the staff of that thing took the tape in, so you might pray about it and see what happens. Nothing may happen. That's all right, too, whatever the Lord wants. But somehow he's going to get the message out to people that there's help. There's a bomb in Gilead. Amen? It's good when people begin to win. Did you know God wants you to win in this battle? I meet Christians all over the country. They don't want to play. They've been whipped so many times by the devil, they don't want to play. They're discouraged. Did you ever play ball when you were a kid? Choose that ball team? Did you ever get on the clunker team, you know, the one that had all the people that couldn't throw, couldn't hit, couldn't run, you know? And you ever get, maybe you were one of those clunkers. You know, they're always the last one picked. And then there's always a few of them, too many on one team, and that kind of throws it out of balance. Well, the other team, you know, they play and they just sweep the game. They win. And then they win the second time. They say, "Let's play again." The other bunch says, I don't want to play. You know why they don't want to play? Because they don't win. They're discouraged. And I find Christians in that same shape. They have been whipped so many times by the devil. It's high time that a message of hope that you can win and that you can begin to make inroads on the enemy and you can push him back. We need this, don't we? Amen. How many of you have never been in a mass or group deliverance? Anybody? Well, that's nice. All right. That ought to be interesting then. A mass or group deliverance does not do everything. But what it does do is help a lot of people, some. And then we move in to mop up what's left over. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, I'm going to speak on the scribes and Pharisees. Be sure and come. Bring your religious pedigree so we can examine it, okay? That's always good for an uproar at Hagwich. And I've got the purest church around. But every time I throw the scribes and Pharisees out, we pull in a whole net full of religious spirits. They're sure shooting. You want something? All right. In a mass or group deliverance, those of you who are familiar with it, you just bear with me while I just fill in those who are not familiar with it. All we're going to do is going to take you through some renunciations of some things that will keep you from having God's best. Don't you want to have God's best? And we have some tapes, a tape that was made in Florida, a tape that was made here. Those tapes have gone all over the country delivering people. It's absolutely incredible. They're still delivering people. We can't keep enough of those tapes in stock when people are calling for them all the time. And some people play them once a week. And so this, if you've been through a mass deliverance before, don't think you've got them all. We're going to put the fine seine out this time and see if we can't catch some slip through the last time, all right? Now, if you have in your life unforgiveness, this will keep you from having God's best. Most Christians are aware that you are supposed to forgive those who hurt and disappoint you. But we react very emotionally when we're hurt or disappointed. And therefore we say, I can't forgive them or I won't forgive them. And we forget that forgiveness is a matter of the will, not the emotions. Because we react emotionally to hurts and disappointments, we think that it is an emotional thing. And we say, I can't do it. I tried, but I couldn't. Or I tried and I still remember it. Well, you're going to remember hurts and disappointments. Some of them are so deep, they'll never go, you'll never forget them. You know that? Because they're just so deep, deep-grained. However, you can know when you've actually forgiven a person because once you have genuinely forgiven that person, when you remember the hurt or the disappointment, instead of going into an emotional tailspin about it and reacting violently, you know, people react differently. Some cry, some go into depression, some want to kill themselves, some want to kill somebody else. All kinds of reaction depending on the individual, how they react to a situation and how bad the situation is. But once you have forgiven them, when you remember the awful words or the terrible deed or whatever it was that hurt you so, you will no longer go into an emotional tailspin about it. You may feel a little sad because it happened, but you will no longer be plunged into depression, crying, anger, wrath, or whatever. That's worth something, isn't it? Now, Jesus wanted us to be free. He taught us in the model prayers in two of the Gospels, forgive us our trespasses, he said, we should pray. Forgive us our trespasses, our sin, as or with the same measure that we forgive others who have trespassed or sinned against us. Now, we have thought, well, you know, if I feel good, yes, I'll do that. I feel particularly religious today, so I'll do that. But if I don't feel so good today, forget it. They don't deserve to be forgiven. And we go on the deserving kick, you know. Well, you don't understand. She doesn't deserve to be forgiven, Miss Worley. He doesn't deserve forgiveness. Why should I forgive him? They were wrong. I was the victim. What do you mean he forgives? Why do I have to do it? Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said so. He says, well, that's enough. You don't understand. They don't deserve forgiveness. When you got saved, did you deserve the treatment you got from God? You received love, forgiveness, grace, all kinds of wonderful things through the Son, from the Father, didn't you? Every day since you got saved, you've been the recipient of grace, wonderful love and forgiveness from the Father through the Son. Isn't that true? What I want you to see is we're in a bad position to talk about deserving anything. God has already forgiven us and graciously treated us. We, the least we can do is do what He says. Well, some people still, they say, well, I might be able to forgive all but that one, but I just can't do that. Well, I'll give you some motivation. If you don't, you're going to develop cancer and arthritis. Ooh, everybody's woke up all awake, wide awake. That's right. Cancer and arthritis are spirits, and they will certainly come right in. Most of them, not 100%, but most of them are rooted in unforgiveness and bitterness because somebody didn't know how to forgive or the absolute necessity of it. Now, how do you forgive a person? Well, you must forgive them like Jesus did, freely. Oh, by the way, if they're still living, you have to ask God to bless them. And always at this point, I feel somebody draw back and say, Now, they don't do it on the outside because this is a religious meeting. We must be religious. But inside, they're saying, You don't understand the situation. That old hussy stole somebody else's husband, broke up their household after she got mine. That old man took somebody else for cleaning, took all their property after he got skinned us out of ours. I'm not asking God to bless any such thing as that. But see, you don't understand what God means by blessing, because what's the best blessing can come to a lost person? Are you so angry with them that you don't want God to save them? That'd look pretty bad on you, wouldn't it? Pretty tacky, wouldn't you say? You say, well, I guess that's what you mean. The old reprobate certainly needs saving. But you say, wait a minute. I'm thinking about somebody that hurt and disappointed me, and they claim to be a Christian. What about them? Well, what about them? What's the best blessing God could give to a person who claims to be a Christian, but who slid away from Him and is living anything but? To bring that person back to Himself? Are you so angry with them you don't want them to come back to the Lord? That wouldn't be very nice either, would it? It's pretty bad on you if you just said, well, just let them stay out there. You say, well, all right. Bring them back. Bump the head on a stump or two so they'll remember the trip. No, you don't tell God how to do it. Just turn it over to Him and ask Him to bless them if they're still alive. And by the way, this is very simple. There's nothing complicated about what we're going to do tonight. And this is a matter of legal grounds, because demons must have legal grounds and a legal right to attack you and me. Demons don't just come on you like a bunch of bumblebees landing on you. They have to have a right to be there. You say, oh, good. I was beginning to get worried. Well, don't relax too much, because most of us have a lot of open doors that need to be closed. We're going to close some of those tonight. Show you how to do it. Amen? All right. Now, if you... somebody always asks, you know, they say, well, wait a minute. You say cancer and arthritis, and I know a dear old saint of God, a dear man of God, a dear woman that served God, lived for God, loved the Word of God, pillar of the church, always helping somebody. And no hypocrisy, real, genuine Christian love, reaching out to others always. You mean they had demons? Well, now, you certainly don't think God gave that to them, do you? If you think cancer and arthritis is a blessing from God, why don't you ask God to send a load over to your house and give you and your family a load of it? No, it's not. It's a dreadful thing that the enemy has managed to do some of the finest people. Now, what we need to do, you say, how would this be? Well, because they didn't know quite how to handle it. Let me show you how it works. If you, this dear old saint of God, somebody mistreats them, you hear about it, say, I don't understand. You took her and her family off the street. You fed them. You nursed them back to health. I can't understand how she could turn around and do that to you. Now, dear old saint will say, well, all right, don't worry about it. All right. All right. But inside, she's hurt. She doesn't know quite how to deal with it. And that sets the stage for unforgiveness. You see, if you persist in unforgiveness, unforgiveness comes in. And these dear saints like that are always reaching out to so many people. They reach out to a lot more unworthy people than most people. Therefore, they get stabbed in the back, they get betrayed, they get stolen from, they get slandered more than other people. Aren't you beginning to get a little mad at the devil? That's pretty dirty, isn't it? Flip up on some of the finest people God has and clamp down on them. Thank God He's opening the door so that we can get out from under this kind of stuff. Amen? At any rate, the thing we need to do is simply forgive them. And you're also going to have to forgive yourself, too. Some people forgive everybody but themselves. But you have to forgive yourself, too, because God's forgiven you. It's wrong for you to hold something in your heart against yourself that God's already forgiven. Did you know that? That's when did you take the place of God? If you're not careful, the devil will get you to do it and get you to accuse yourself. You'll be miserable, have a pity party every day. Keep you down all the time. If you want to take part in it, now we're going to pray in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you, when we do, to bow your head and close your eyes. Now, that's not because it's more sacred to pray with your head bowed or your eyes closed. There is a good reason for it, though, because there are some nosy people here. Now, I know it's not you, but the person sitting next to you just might be nosy. You can never tell. And to protect them, see, because if a nosy person is looking up this way praying and something happens over here, they'll lose track of their praying to get over, look over here and see what's happening. So to protect that nosy person and save time, because I could go down the row and say, now you're nosy, you have to close your eyes. Well, you're all right. Yeah, you're all right. No, you have to close your eyes, you're nosy. You know, it'd take a lot of time, wouldn't it? Actually, what I want you to do, I want you to make this very personal. I want to get it, just you and the Lord. And although we're going to be doing it in the group, it's going to be a very intensely personal thing, because I want you to deal with things that God brings to your mind. And a strange thing's been happening for some of you, especially some who've never been through this before. While I've been talking, the names of people and certain events have been popping in your mind, and some of them you hadn't even thought about in years, even. That's because the Holy Spirit's already working, pushing them up. He knows where the thing's buried, and He wants to get it up so that you can be free. Amen? If you want to take part, bow your heads with me for a moment and repeat after me, please. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I confess to you that in the past I have held unforgiveness, sometimes bitterness and resentment, in my heart against certain people who have hurt or disappointed me. I now recognize this as sin. And I claim forgiveness. For you've said in your word, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do now forgive the following people whom I remember who have hurt or disappointed me. Now, very, very quietly, I want you to tell the Father the ones that come to mind. I forgive all these people whom I remember. And for those who are living, I ask that you bless them. I also forgive myself for all my many faults and shortcomings. And I accept your forgiveness. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, some of you will begin to feel a release immediately. Others of you, it'll dawn on you in a day or two that something has happened deep inside of you. And if you should remember another name or another incident for which you should forgive people in the days that are coming, just simply forgive them in Jesus' name and go on about your business. Keep short accounts with God. And this will keep this from creeping up on you and creating a backlog. Now, this is one of the weights that people carry. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Now, there's another area that causes a great deal of trouble in the believer's lives and even brings a curse from God to the third and fourth generation. It's the area of the occult. In the Bible, the occult is universally put down, and it carries a death penalty without exception. Every time it's mentioned, God demands a death penalty for it, for every expression of it, for tampering with it, experimenting with it, coming in contact with it. God says death to those who fool with the occult. Now, in our day, the devil has upgraded everything, changed the names, calls it parapsychology, teaches it in colleges and universities, and now he slips it in and causes people to be gullible gooses, and they just swallow it down, and God hadn't changed his mind about it at all. You see, he said in the first and the great commandment that if you reach out to other gods, I will curse you to the third and fourth generation. And that's exactly what you're doing when you reach out through the occult. You are dabbling with demons. You say, well, I didn't know that. I know that's the way the devil gets most of his dupes. They don't know what they're getting into. And the reason God's people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. It's in the Word of God, but we haven't studied it. We have not been taught it. And before we're too hard on our preachers, remember they weren't taught it either. And it's been skipped over by many, but thank God he's bringing it back to our attention again in these days, because God is getting a people ready for this tremendous spiritual battle. And we need all the grounds of the enemy wiped out, and we need all the strongholds of the enemy put down so that we'll be able to move in the supernatural power of the Lord. Amen? Now, let me mention some common occult things, because sometimes people get involved in them, don't even know that's what it is. For example, the Ouija board, cute little toy by Parker's Brothers. Produce it 2 and 3 million a year are produced in this country, the Ouija board. And the Ouija board, everywhere it goes, it carries a curse to the third and fourth generation. You remember when you were a little kid and played with the Ouija board? And, you just played with it, and a bunch of kids around, and it was such a cute little gadget. You know, it did funny little things and spelled out words, and you thought it was so much fun. I hope you had a good time, because you were cursed, your children were cursed, grandchildren cursed, and great-grandchildren were cursed. Now, the sorcery is another area of the occult. Sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means to open your mind with drugs for the entrance of evil spirits. Now, that's what the drug scene's all about. The devil could care less about getting high. That's only a bait to get the kids to open their minds by using these mind-altering drugs, and that way the evil spirits can come in, and they become guilty of sorcery. You can do it with Valium, too. You don't have to go out on the street and get drugs. There are some that are powerful enough you can use on prescription and do the same thing. And then you've got witchcraft of all kinds, white, gray, and black. A white witchcraft, of course, is when you're doing nice things. Christian Scientists, for example, that's white witchcraft. White witchcraft, well, you know, Christian Science is grape nuts. Grape nuts, neither grapes nor nuts. Christian Science, neither Christian Scientific. Just parades as one. And spiritualism. Well, what they do, you see, they'll pray for you, you have a migraine headache. They pray for you, and your headache goes away, and you get a brain tumor. But you don't know about the tumor for a while. So you just go around saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. See? They pray for a heart murmur, and the heart murmur goes away, and you get cancer of the liver. But, of course, you don't find out about it for a while. In other words, what I'm telling you is, in the devil's market, you always trade up, not down. Only when you trade with Jesus, you get the blessing and no bad after effects. Only then can you truly praise the Lord, because you get the blessing without any bad after effects at all. Now, witchcraft, of course, white witchcraft. Now, black witchcraft, when you do nasty things, you know, kill people, make people sick, voodoo, you know, sticking pins and all this kind of stuff. But really, it's all the same rotten thing. There is no real difference. You read from witchcraft over there, Doreen Irvin's story. You should read it. I think she found out about black witchcraft and white witchcraft being the same. And she started out thinking one was the other, if I recall correctly. But she found out it was all the same thing. It's like an octopus, you know. He has a tentacle coming out this way and one over here. If you trace it back to where it starts, it's the same old octopus. And everything the devil is doing will trace back to the center of demonic power, Lucifer himself. No matter where the tentacle is running and how far separated it seems from the other things that are going on, they're all centered in the same diabolic pattern to destroy. Let's see. Handwriting analysis is a nice way to get a curse on you. It's a nice way of fortune telling, isn't it? Any kind of fortune telling, divination, you know, reading cards, tea leaves, coffee grounds, laying cards out, crystal balls, astrology, horoscopes. Remember when you went to the fortune teller over at the carnival? A bunch of kids, you know, high school, maybe you got together. Went over to see what she'd say, you know, and it was just, you came away laughing. Everybody said, what'd she tell you? Oh, she told me that. Wasn't it funny? Hope you had a good laugh. You were cursed, the children were cursed, the grandchildren cursed, the great-grandchildren cursed. That makes it pretty bad, doesn't it? And then you can go to hypnosis. You say, oh, well, my doctor did that, did he? Well, you were cursed, your children were cursed, your grandchildren were cursed, your great-grandchildren were cursed. Hypnosis is an ancient device to open you up into the spirit realm. It's got a lot of scientific jargon around it now, but actually there's no difference. It's the same old rotten mess. And you say, my doctor did it. Well, he was cursed, his children were cursed, his grandchildren were cursed, his great-grandchildren were cursed. It works on both of them. The one that does it, the one that receives it. ESP, that cute little parlor game, you know, mind reading stuff. But yeah, I was pretty good at it, were you? Well, I hope you enjoyed it. You were cursed, your children were cursed, your grandchildren were cursed, your great-grandchildren were cursed. I was on the plane today talking to a man, and he was asking me to find out what I was doing. I know, it's real funny. When I meet people on the planes, they never heard of anybody that's in the business I'm in. Until I go around the country throwing out demons, they look so startled. They say, well, I heard about that, but I never did meet anybody that did it. And I was talking to him, and he was asking me about, he was a Nazarene man, and he was asking me about, some things, clairvoyance and some other things, and I was telling him that was all in the occult realm. And he was startled because some of it he didn't know. How would he have known? Who would have told him, see? Unless you go to the Word of God, you don't find these things out. And then levitation, you know, that table tipping, lifting people your fingers, cute little parlor games, you know. That'll cause you to be cursed, your children cursed, grandchildren cursed, great-grandchildren cursed. And you know, the seance, remember when you went to the seance when they tried to talk to the dead, you know? That's necromancy. You were cursed, your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, great-grandchildren cursed. In my lands, I wish you'd quit saying that. That's terrible, I know. That's why I'm saying it. I want it to sink in how terrible this stuff is. It's rotten. It's hellish. It's of the devil, and you don't want to get involved in it. Now, let's see. Oh, charms and enchantments and fetishes. You say, well, good, I don't have any of those. Don't be too sure. You know the little cute little cross with the loop on top, the oval loop on top? That's the Egyptian Ankh. And that's the symbol of the Egyptian fertility goddess, the lust goddess, in other words. And when you wear this, you're inviting Asmodeus, the prince of lust. to come and visit you and your household. And nice, you know. And of course, if you happen to wear those symbols, you just could bump into a witch or somebody who knows what it is. And, you know, they just might make suggestions accordingly if you're wearing it. You could also, the little Italian horn, you know, the little wiggly horn. That's a cute little thing. Means Satan furnishes my finances. Could be because you're the reason you're broke. Then the Star of David is another nice one, you know. Oh, in the when you look it up, you'll find it's the hexagram. And it's what witches and warlocks and Satan worshippers use till this day to cast spells and curses. David never did know anything about it. Of course, everybody says, oh, you're attacking the Jews. I'm not done it. I tell Jews they're paranoid. I preach about Judas, too, but I don't hate the Jews just because of that. I mean, the truth is truth. And the Star of David is a witchcraft symbol and ought to be exposed as such. You say, well, I'm going to keep mine. All right. It's not bothering me. Just don't break my house. I don't want it. Thank you. We did have a couple of witches came to one of the workshops, oh, a couple of years ago, I guess it was now. And Norman Parrish was preaching on witchcraft, and that brought them out. They'd come from Pennsylvania. And this fellow and girl, they came walking right up the center aisle like this, and they stood in front of Norman. I don't know what they said. I was sitting on the platform, but I couldn't hear them. But he just said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. So they just turned around and stretched their hands out over the audience. Now, you can hear this on the tape that came from that. And the whole congregation, without anybody saying a word, immediately reacted and started praying in tongues. And it was like a wave rejecting what they were saying, y'all were this and y'all were that, something, I don't know. And the whole congregation just came against them in tongues. And, of course, my boys were watching me, and I just ducked my head, and that was all that took. Zoom, they were there. They're used to handling things. And, you know, you're familiar with our church. We have just a normal Baptist church. You know, it's the average Baptist-type church. We sing, we testify, I preach, and we have kicking, screaming, hollering, fighting. You know, just the usual. Nothing too unusual. But anyway, those boys rushed in, and so the boy began to kind of put up a fight. He's a pretty good-sized boy. One of my boys happened to notice on his black shirt he had a Star of David, silver Star of David hanging around his neck on a chain. So he just reached over and grabbed that thing and jerked it, and when he did, the boy just went limp, took all his power. And they hauled him out to the front. And the boy pitched him and said, here, I don't want this thing, and he threw it back to him. But it was a Star of David, if you want to call it that. I hate to associate David with it myself. Of course, you might have a double pyramid around your house. Rubik's Cube, that's what it is. It has, you know, hypnotic colors, and it's a distorted double pyramid. We found this out from an ex-Satan worshiper. Dragons and Dungeons, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, that's the latest way to learn witchcraft. Tunnels and Trolls and all the spinoffs of it. Teaching your kids to be witches. Setting them up for the end times. Biorhythm. That's that cute little thing you do with a calculator, you know, fortune telling with a calculator. It was designed by a witch. Then you have Edgar Casey. Well, I missed something. Almost forgot. Irma wanted me to mention this. you know, ladies, those pretty little earrings you got, little fierce earrings, I'll bring this to you courtesy of Frank Nidema Hammond. I always give them credit for this. A couple of years ago, they were the ones who ran into it. That constitutes mutilation of your body, contrary to scriptures. And in the scriptures, you'll find that those pierced earrings are associated only with slavery, harlotry, and demon worship. That's kind of bad company to be running in. You say, well, I'm going to keep mine. Well, that's all right. You'll think about it every time you put them in. And, you know, it's not going to bother me a whole lot. But the Hammonds did discover this, that they were connected. They couldn't get healed of Bell's palsy. And they have also discovered they're connected with a lot of female troubles. And by the way, fellas, I see some of you looking pretty smug out there. And before you get too smug, your tattoos come in the same category. Now the gals can laugh a little bit. Okay. Now, Edgar Casey, of course, is our dear friend, the sleeping prophet, the witch. If you studied his books trying to learn about how God heals, then you probably picked up his witchcraft spirits if you did much in-depth study on him. And he's a witch. Jean Dixon, she's another witch. You say, I thought she was religious. Yes, she is. She's a religious witch. There's a lot of those. We got charismatic witches who rule by revelation and prophecy, you know, this sort of thing. You girls who are here, if you had a dream or a vision, a great big snake crawled in bed with you, and I can see all of you are thrilled at the thought, and wrapped around you, and then looked into your eyes and said, look to the east for wisdom, would you think that was God talking to you? You wouldn't? Well, she did. It's in a biography. She's a witch, plain and simple. She's a deluded witch, just a good dose of salvation would help her. But we don't need her predictions or Irene Hughes or any of the other psychics. We need to stay away from those things because those are coming from demons. Now, Eastern religions, of course, are all full of demonic things, are rooted in that transcendental meditation. I call it instant insanity. The way to instant insanity is to get a mantra going, block your mind out, blank it out, so anything in the country can come in. That's what you're doing. You're just, you're putting up a sign, vacancy upstairs, bats in the belfry, room for rent up here, and anything in the country can come in when you've got all the blinds down. That's what you do. The devil gets you to do that, see. Same thing happens in yoga. You open your body for evil spirits. And the devil has just convinced people of a lot of things that are just dead, downright wrong. And then, of course, rock music is just packed with evil spirits. We have a couple of tapes called A Journey into Rock where they do the backward masking and they reverse those tapes and let you hear what's right on the back of the tape. Your blood will run cold when you hear smoke marijuana and Satan is king and Satan is Lord. Worship him and sweet, sweet Satan, sweet child of Satan born into the world today and things of this sort. By the way, one of the ladies came to the workshop and she'd gotten hold of some of these tapes earlier in one of the meetings and she gave them to her son, who'd always been a hardcore rock and roll, and nothing budged him. I'll tell you one thing, these tapes are causing the kids to pitch the tapes and records who never would pitch them before. And finally found something that works. He decided to take his Christian rock albums and check them, and he started checking them backwards and found out they had the same stuff on them. So that makes it nice, doesn't it? That's what you're listening to. You see, people say, well, you can't hear if it's going backwards. How could you hear it? Well, same way you see me standing up right side up. You know, when you look at me, I'm standing upside down. Have you ever thought to thank the Lord because your brain turns things around before you see it? I mean, how'd you like to walk around there or see everybody walking on the ceiling? Wouldn't that be a little discombobulating, you know? I mean, a little upsetting. I mean, I'd hate to look out there and see all of you upside down. That's the way my eyes see you. But my brain, before it interprets that, it flips it. And you're sitting down where you belong, see? Now then, your brain does the same thing when it hears things on the tapes. You're hearing them backwards, it flips them around, stores them forward. We don't need to be exposed to that kind of stuff. Mind control of any kind, of course. Astral projection, Ekankar, I Ching, Hare Krishna, Zen. These are just some of the common things around. Freemasons and Eastern Star, of course, are all rooted into the occult. They're right straight back to the Babylon Mystery Religion. You ought to read Babylon Mystery Religion. It'll open your eyes to some things. And that's just a few of the more common things. There are more, but that'll get us started, won't it? I could say to you, now let's go home. You're cursed, your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, your great-grandchildren cursed. Well, now, good night, folks. Let's go home and have a good night's sleep. Well, that might be a little difficult if you really got stirred up about it, might you? And by the way, let me tell you this. In case you are beginning to see there is a real spiritual world for the first time, it's always the first time for everybody, you know. All of us started realizing it at one time or another. All of a sudden it dawned on us, there's more to this than I thought, you know. And it's not just the devil in general, it's the demons in particular. And I mean, when you begin to see them, you think, oh, good Lord, they're everywhere. Ah! You know, and the first reaction is to get paranoid and sit on the panic button. But that won't do any good. If you find yourself moving in that direction, don't do that. Just remember, the demons are no worse now than they were when you didn't know anything about them. Isn't that comforting? The difference is that with you learning something, information about how to deal with them, you are moving in a position where you can do something about them. They're doing their worst already before you ever found out about them. That'll kind of calm you down, keep you from flying off the wall. All right. Now, there are demons. One ground they use to work on people is unconfessed sin. So the first thing we're going to do is take away the ground of unconfessed sin. And of course, this will be strictly voluntary on your part. It's up to you. You can do whatever you like. You say, well, I'm not going to do it. Well, your demon's not bothering me. I mean, if you can live with them, they're certainly not harassing me any, but when they drive you crazy, we'll come back and maybe we'll be able to help you then. Because that's what they're working at, you see. But if you want to get rid of anything evil, I find most Christians want to get rid of anything of the enemy. They don't really want anything of the enemy, any outpost of the enemy that's in them. They want to get it out. They're not interested in having it anymore. So if that's the way you are, and I imagine most of you are, then by all means, you take part in this, and I'm going to show you how to renounce it. We'll just renounce it and close the door to Satan, and we'll knock him out legally first. Then we'll throw up the net and see what's in it. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes for concentration again, and repeat after me, Father in heaven, I confess to you that in the past, through ignorance, through curiosity, or through willfulness, I have come into contact with certain occult things. I now recognize this as sin and confess it as sin to you. I renounce all such contacts and specifically all contacts with the following occult things that I know about. All right, now you just mentioned quietly to the Lord the ones that come to mind. Don't miss water witching. That's why they call it witching. I renounce as sin all these things that I know about. And also any that I do not know about. Or that I do not remember. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm closing any door that I may have opened to you through contact with the following occult things. Now mention again the things you mentioned to the Father earlier. Just very quietly. Tell the Father. I renounce all these occult contacts as sin. I also renounce any sins of idolatry or any oath that I may have made to any false god. I renounce Satan and all his works. I hate all his demons. I declare them to be my enemies. And I claim deliverance from any and all evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every curse of rejection from the womb, every curse of illegitimacy, which may be upon me or my family, even back to 10 generations, on both sides of my family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce. Break and loose myself from all demonic subjection, from every ungodly soul tie, to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other human being, living or dead, who have ever in the past or are now dominating or controlling me in any way contrary to the will of God. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I also repent. I ask you to forgive me if I have dominated or controlled someone else in the wrong way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce and break and loose myself and all my descendants from all psychic heredity, demonic holes, psychic powers, bondages, bonds of physical or mental illness, or curses upon me or my family line as a result of sins, transgressions,
iniquities,
occult or psychic involvement
of myself,
my parents,
or any of my ancestors,
of my spouse,
and in all ex-spouses,
or their parents,
or any of their ancestors.
I thank you, Lord, for setting us free.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
I now rebuke,
breaking loose myself
and all my descendants
from any and all evil curses,
charms,
vexes,
hexes,
spells,
jinxes,
psychic powers,
bewitchments,
witchcraft or sorcery,
which has been put upon me
or my family line,
from any person or persons,
or from any occult source,
or psychic source.
And I command all connected and related spirits
to leave us.
Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free.
I come to you, Lord Jesus,
as my deliverer.
You know all my problems,
all the things that bind,
torment,
defile and harass me.
I now refuse to accept anything from Satan.
I loose myself from every dark spirit,
from every evil influence,
from every satanic bondage,
from every spirit in me,
which is not a spirit of God.
I command all such spirits
to leave me now.
I confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit.
Redeemed,
cleansed,
sanctified,
justified
by the blood of Jesus.
Therefore, Satan has no more place in me,
no more power over me,
because of the blood of Jesus.
Now, what we have done is to destroy a lot of legal entanglements and grounds on which demons attack people and set up housekeeping. Now then, it's time to throw out the net and see how many are loose. Some of them are already coming out, and they're cowards, you know, they give up without a fight even. But others will put up a squawk. Now, what I'm going to do next, I'm just going to take authority over the whole crowd. I'm going to notify Satan what we're doing. That's fair, isn't it? We're going to raid his stronghold. We might as well let him know about it. Bind him off of it. And then I'm going to call out a list of common demons and command them to come out of you. Now, all you'll have to do is just relax. Be willing for them to come out. That's pretty easy, isn't it? And when we start this, though, I want to ask you not to pray with your mouth for a time. I want you to pray. I just want you to pray in your head. The word demon is the same as the word spirit or breath. Most of these things are going to come out through the breathing passages. We don't want anything on any traffic on the street. Just like an ambulance goes through town, take all the traffic off the street. That's what we're going to do in order to let these things have free course to come out when I call them. Okay? And from time to time, I'm going to ask you to breathe them out, people. Take three or four slow, deep breaths and breathe out hard. And when I do that, I breathe out three or four times, good and hard. Don't do it more than that, because if you do, you'll hyperventilate and get dizzy and think you're getting delivered. And all you're doing is just getting dizzy. But they will come out. There's a lot of them ready to come out now. So praise the Lord. First, we'll notify Satan. Satan, I'm putting you on notice. I'm attacking you from the power of the third heaven, high above you, high above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, world rulers, kings, princes, and every angelic rank. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to send legions of angels here to garrison this place, to join those already here. And I want every demon that's loose in this place to be bound right now, the free ones that are in the air. Bind them up. I don't want them to interfere or do anything. I want you to seal them off and bind them so they'll do nothing. And then I take authority over the strong man and every person here. I'm putting you on notice. I'm coming against you with the power of the third heaven. When I call your name or your family name, you must leave. The people are honest. They want to be free, and you have no right to be there. And those whose grounds, you have no grounds to be there, you come out when I call your name. Spirits of laziness, self-hate, self-deception, impatience, pride, irritation, ambition, loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, death, confusion, rejection, depression, misery, torment, torture, doubt, unbelief, greediness, covetousness, guilt, shame, condemnation, and evil heart of unbelief. Come out of the people. Breathe them out. Slow and deep, people. Let them go. Come on. Come on out of that. In Jesus' name, move. Come on out. Loose the people. Loose them. Loose them now. Come on. Keep moving. Come on. Come on out. Move. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Hurry up. Move. Move. Keep moving. Keep moving. Come on. Come on out in Jesus' name. Move. Move. Keep moving. Come on out of them. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Hurry up. Keep moving. You're stalling. Come on. Hurry up. Move. Just breathe them out, people. They'll come out. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Keep moving. I come against every occult spirit. Spirits of the Ouija board, sorcery, witchcraft control, automatic writing, handwriting analysis, fortune telling, astrology, horoscope, divination of all kinds, witchcraft, hypnosis, ESP, levitation, clairvoyance, spirits of mediums, seances, charms, enchantments, curses, fetishes, Edgar Casey, Gene Dixon, Eastern religions, transcendental meditation, yoga, karate, and all the martial arts, I Ching, Hare Krishna, Zen, astral projection, Ekankar, reincarnation, psychic heredity, mind control, rock music, water witching, Jezebel, Antichrist, 666, Freemasons, Eastern Star, Rubik's Cube, Dungeons and Dragons, biorhythm, biofeedback. Come on, move, come out. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Slow and deep. Just breathe out hard. Come on out of there. All the witchcraft spirits, move. Come on. Witchcraft, move. Come on, move. Move. Divination and witchcraft, get out. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear. Fear of giving and receiving love. Fear of death. Fear of pain. Fear of falling. Fear of the dark. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of insects. Fear of crowds. Fear of man. Fear of the loss of salvation. Fear of nightmares. Fear of demons. Fear of storms. Come on, fears. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Come on. All you fear spirits. Come on out. Move. Come on. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Fear of the dark. Come on. Come on. Fear of death. Move. Come on out of there. Move. Loose them and let them go. Loose them. Come on out in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Keep moving. Keep moving in Jesus' name. Spirits of wrath, anger, temper, contention, fighting, murder, destruction, malice, envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, pride, hysteria, fits, convulsions, spirit of a broken heart, unforgiveness, schizophrenia, paranoia, wounded spirit, deep hurt, seething anger and rage. Come on, move. Come on out. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out. Move. Breathe out slow and deep, people. Three or four slow, deep breaths. Come on out of there. All the spirits I've named and those in those families, come out. Come out. Let them go. Move. Come out in Jesus' name. Profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation, lying, gossip, slander, whining, complaining, self-pity, criticism, mockery, foolishness, ridicule and perversity. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation. Move. Come out of the voice box right now. Come on. Move, move, move. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of addiction. Spirits of addiction rooted in rejection, addiction, and craving for food, gluttony, addiction to sweets, addiction and craving for nicotine, addiction and craving for alcohol, addiction and craving for drugs, marijuana, acid, speed, diet pills, amphetamines, heroin, cocaine, Valium, tranquilizers, barbiturates, strychnine. Come on, move. Come out of the people right now. Come on. All the addiction spirits. Come on. You're rooted in rejection. Come out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Move. Keep moving. I break the curses of lust on the people. Back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Lust, masturbation, guilt, shame, condemnation, burning passion, adultery, fornication, immorality, sex perversion, oral sex, anal sex, sex with animals, incest, uncleanness, filth, sadism, masochism, frigidity, impotence, rape, filthy conversation, filthy dreams, pornography, homosexuality, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, harlotry, promiscuity, flirting, prostitution and seduction, Come out, all the lust spirits, the sex spirits, move. Come out of the sex organs, come out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, out of the throat, move. Come on, come out in Jesus' name. Come out now, move. Come on out in Jesus' name, loose them. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of them. Hurry up. Spirits of deformity, infirmity, pain, arthritis, come out in Jesus' name. Arthritis, come out of the joints. Pain, swelling, and inflammation, come out in Jesus' name. Move, come out of them. I break the curse of allergies back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Allergies, you allergy spirits up in the sinuses, come out. Come out in the sinuses, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits that cause swelling, inflammation, burning, drainage, come out. Sinuses, come out. Asthma, hay fever. Asthma, hay fever, come on. Allergies, come out, come out. Allergies in the bloodstream, in the bone marrow, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Allergies, come out. Allergies, asthma and hay fever, move. Infection, cancer, tumor, ulcer, cyst, come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Hemorrhoids, muscle spasm, grounding, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, swelling, suffering, cramp, fit, convulsion, and epilepsy. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Move. Come on, move. Move. Heart failure, heart disease, and heart attack. Come out. And the fear of all these. Come out. Come out of the heart muscles, out of the nerves, out of the valves, out of the veins. Hypoglycemia. Hypoglycemia. Come out. High blood pressure. Low blood pressure. Hypoglycemia. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Now. Move. Psoriasis. Eczema. Acne. Warts. Moles. Hernia. Blindness. Astigmatism. Cataract. Glaucoma. All kinds of eye trouble. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Paralysis. Paralysis and traumatic shock. Come out. Deafness, hard of hearing, and all kinds of ear trouble. Spirits of the bone breaker and the back breaker. Come out. The bone breaker and the back breaker. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of dogs, cats, chickens, monkeys, donkeys, horses, lions, tigers, bulls, swans, snakes, all the animal spirits, come out of the people now. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the curse of Leviathan back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Leviathan, thou piercing serpent, come out of the people now. Come out of the people now. Breathe him out, people. Let him go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You've been sitting a while, your blood's all down in your feet. Let's stand up and stretch a minute, want to? Put your hands up like this. Well, never miss an opportunity. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Now, if you still need help, if you can make your way down front, there are people here who can will be glad to try to pray with you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.